everything that we're going to talk about today, except for a few very small things and one big, huge thing, is all completely earned media, all completely organic, and from 2013 until today has been managed and created by myself and executed and grown to what it is today. So this is Topo Chico Mineral. I would assume that some folks are aware of it, especially here in Chicago. This is one of our strongest markets. I work with other brands. For the most part, the brands I work with are either musicians, they're food and beverage folks, or they're tech. There's a few nonprofits in there, like American Cancer Society and American Heart Association. I just kind of those happen because I live in Dallas and I work out of Dallas, and they're headquartered there. So you run it. It's not that they sought me out. We just kind of meet each other at meetings. But for the most part, a lot of these brands that I work with overlap each other really, really nicely. And so I'm able to take advantage if I'm working with a cold brew company and I'm building an audience there. Well, that's going to make a lot of sense for like an audience for like a musician or someone like that, depending on the kind of music that you're looking at. Because my name is super easy to remember, and we don't want to go into too much about me, I'm up on LinkedIn. I've got my information down at the bottom of the slide. You can see my terrible history there. Make it very clear before we get going, and I'm going to talk really fast because we got 30 minutes and I got like an hour and a half worth of slides. I work for clients, not employers. I'm an independent contractor. So while I'm up here and I'm teaching you guys exactly what I've done with these client brands, I am not an employee. And if I say anything terribly stupid, don't get mad at them, get mad at me, and because I like my retainer. Everything that I present to you, though, is stuff that I've personally done. So I don't go out and do conferences and talk at events about things that we've heard about and kind of those big, you know, 10,000-foot kind of views of these amazing, you know, marketing campaigns everybody's heard about. I only talk about the stuff that I've actually done. And that helps me not sound stupid because I know what I'm talking about if I'm the one that did the work. So I thought that was part of the picture. So Topo Chico is the brand we're going to talk about today. And when we launched this brand in the United States, the whole focus was we're walking into a market the size of the U.S., gargantuan, right, with it's water in a bottle. And whenever you go to the grocery store, whenever you go to convenience stores, holy cow, how many bottles of water do you have to choose from? And not even talking about brands of different bottles of water. How many sparkling waters? How many other choices do you have to choose from non-alcoholic drinks? So we definitely had our work cut out for us. One of the really important things that I've established with all the brands that I work with, and the reason being is this, is that sometimes when folks will call me up, they call me up because they need social media or they need search engine optimization, right? They're not quite sure why. They know they're supposed to be there. They know they're supposed to be doing it. Half of my clients would hire me and just like let me run away and do my thing because they don't understand it and not even ask me a question about it, right? Well, the challenge with it, with doing something like that is after about 6 months, they come back and go, what are the results? What did you do? What have you been doing? Prove it to us, you know? And if you're kind of running down blindly in anything that you're doing in life and you're just kind of like kicking up dust and making a bunch of noise, but you don't have a goal to achieve and you don't have something that you're supposed to be getting to, it's kind of hard after the fact to show people why you're valuable on the team, right? So it's super important. And what we did with these folks was we needed to make sure that we developed a plan of action, things that behaviors we were going to do on an every single day basis, and also definitions of things that we were not going to do that would take us off track. But at the core of what I do with all the brands that I work with, we establish what the norm is going to be and what the goal is going to be, and then they set me off on my journey. And then it's up to me to get the brand and create a story and create a brand journey and get them to that goal. So Topo Chico, I mentioned before, not a new player to the game. Actually been bottling liquid longer than Coca-Cola has, sourced in 1895. They expanded out of the Monterey XD. Now Topo Chico, to be clear, is not water that comes out of a pipe and has carbonation added to it. This is sourced from the ground, from a spring. And so when you think of all the different, even sparkling mineral waters in the market, Topo Chico is akin to a San Pellegrino or a Perrier, okay? It's not LaCroix. It's not like Dasani Sparkling and stuff like that. There's a lot of great brands out there, but the vast majority of the sparkling water brands is they're basically, and I don't mean this in a pejorative way, but they're tap water that has had carbonation added to them and a little bit of flavoring. Brands like San Pellegrino Perrier and Topo Chico are sourced, and they come out of the ground with all the minerals in them and with the carbonation in them, and we bottle it and we send it out to the world. So they were in Monterrey, primarily serving that area of Mexico up until about the 1980s. They expanded out to the rest of Mexico in the 1980s, and then 1987 they expanded up into the U.S., but really only to a primarily Spanish-speaking market. And we call that our legacy or our heritage audience. Basically, we expanded into the U.S. because we had to, because folks were coming up from Mexico, immigrating to the U.S., and they were bringing it with them, and then they were getting frustrated because they couldn't find it. In 2013, I got a phone call, completely by happenstance. It's a terrific story. I'll tell you later about it. I got a phone call from them saying, you know, we need you now to help us open this up to an English-speaking market. And I was born and raised on the Mexican border down in McAllen, Texas, and I'd been around Topo Chico my whole life. So I was aware of the brand and certainly aware of the heritage of it. And when they called me in, part of the one of the things I was aware of also is that Hispanic culture is much more conservative and much more, you know, business-like than we are in the United States these days. And so I knew to expect that when it went into the meeting. And so I go into this meeting, big conference room, very impressive room, sit down, and the very first thing, usually I go in and I don't really, you know, I'm going to sit down and be casual and relaxed and let people know who I am and my personality. And I was fairly uncomfortable in this meeting. I was a little bit intimidated. And I sit down, and at that point in time, Jose Correa was a gentleman that was in charge of the U.S. market, and he goes, Giovanni, I need you to show me how to not only convince white people that it's okay to drink the water from Mexico, but for them to know that it's fashionable to drink the water from Mexico. And that set the tone, number one, of the approach he wanted to take with the brand. And number two, it let me know that he was not going to go up against the 45 other brands of water on the market. He wanted to leapfrog over everybody. Whenever somebody says that I want to create a fashion brand or a lifestyle brand, if they say, We want to be the apple of whatever, then I roll my eyes and I run away, because that's usually a dead end. But in this situation, there was something authentic and pure about them coming to me and saying, you know what? We know what we're up against here. We're going to leapfrog over those folks and go straight to creating a brand that is highly sought after and that is almost, not really a luxury brand, but certainly a high-quality brand. So how are we going to do this? And it's funny because this template that I use for the most part for 80% of what you're going to see here, I use across all my brands, depending upon how it fits for them. So in our situation in particular here, we already mentioned we're going to develop a lifestyle brand. We want to focus on one industry at a time, super critical, because their thing was we're going to play the long game. You're not here to go and own a social media platform and have us like be the next cool thing in 6 months. They were very clear about the fact that we want to come in and we want to kind of work our way through different industries quietly, so by the time the public becomes aware of us, we're already ingrained in the industry. It's kind of too late at that point. Playing the long game, no conspicuous marketing. So, Gio, we have a brand that we want you to market. It's water in a bottle. I can get water out of a tap in my house. Water in a bottle. There's 50 different competitors out there. And you're not allowed to tell anybody that we're marketing. We want to make it hard to get. Okay, so how do we do that? We're going to focus on our fans. We want to build a rabid, highly engaged network. We want to focus not only on one industry, one social network at a time and own it. And that we're not concerned about size, we're concerned about engagement. Super, super important. And for those of y'all that manage brands, if you have the luxury to take this approach, you're going to see what the end result is. If you're someone who executes, whether you're working inside of a company or a consultant, this is a dream client. This is what I try to go in and convince clients to do. This was the first client ever when I sat down at the table and they presented to me exactly what I would typically do if I had everything fell in my court and I could make all the decisions. That's how I would choose to go about it. And they're the ones who let. Now, the funny thing about this, they didn't know how to do it. They knew conceptually what they wanted the brand to be. But the digging of the ditch to get on there, they had no clue. So they had to hire somebody that would go out there and kind of do the work every day. We use the word authentic a lot. And it's weird because we really try to kind of dance around corporate talk. We try to dance around buzzwords. And the reason why is because we're always trying to let folks know that this brand comes from 120 years of history. It's the real deal. We didn't pop up 6 months ago and hire some influencers on YouTube, and now we're hip for 6 months, and you'll never hear about us next year. But at the same time, we don't want people to think that we're trying to be authentic. And this is such a weird concept to kind of get across. We're just who we are. That should speak for itself, and what that is authentic. But anytime we're doing something where we feel like we're trying, we stop and back up. We're like, no, because we want to make sure that people just know that the brand is real. It's the real deal, not that we're trying to push that upon them. Encourage fans to create content and reward them for them. Collect email addresses. Still the number one most important thing you can do pound for pound in online marketing. The most valuable thing you can still have is an email address. And monitor GDPR and data collection policies. For the most part, this was not part of our original plan. The data privacy part was, but since the vast majority, like 98% of what we do is organic and earned media, we don't really collect data on any of our fans or our clients, except for the email addresses. And we don't even collect names, first names or last names. Things we don't want to do. Chatbots are stupid. They're intrusive, they're evasive, they're obnoxious, and if you're doing chatbots, if your company does, you're a terrible person. Honest to God, they are the most obnoxious thing outside of the monkey going back and forth that you've got to click on the ad. Do not do chatbots, especially with everything that Facebook is going through right now with federal government. The government is going to bring a hammer down on them. And I believe that Facebook has already banned chatbots on the platform. But if you were doing it on some other platform, if there's any question in the room, it's obnoxious. Do not do it. We don't do untargeted ads or large-scale ad buys. We make sure we'll talk about pillars in a second. We're never disrespectful of people's culture, political views, or religion, ever, ever, ever. We typically stay completely away from all that stuff. And we try not to be corporate Borgs. So let's build a brand. So here's what this looks like in execution. I'm going to talk about one of our pillars. So for Topo Chico, we have what we call the pillars of our marketing, which are our industries. We focus on a specific industry. We spend 12 to 18 months on that industry till we own it. And then we take what we've learned and we move to another industry. We're going to talk about the very first industry that we focused on today, which is the music industry. What was our goal with the music industry? We want to develop relationships with up-and-coming artists. Now, the ultimate goal is that Topo Chico shows up, earned media, shows up in music videos, and it shows up on the largest stages of the world and the largest concerts, music festivals in the world, and we don't pay a penny to put it there, except for my retainer. So we want to develop a relationship with up-and-coming artists. We have to kind of go out and see who's going to be cool and who's going to be playing at Lollapalooza in a year, and befriend them now and start supporting them now, so that when the time comes when they show up at Lollapalooza, they're just walking out on the stage with Topo Chico in their hand. It's not us trying to buy a sponsorship, so it's placed around the amps. We want to collect email addresses and contact information from highly connected industry insiders. An industry insider does not need to be a producer. An industry insider can be the personal assistant that works the front desk at a music management office. It can be an engineer who works in the dark 20 hours a day at a music studio cutting, the biggest songs in the world. And this is a person, this man or woman is somebody that no one has ever heard of and will never hear of again. But this person deals with the biggest people in music every single day of their lives. We want to make friends with that person. We want to make sure that the artists find value in being associated with us enough so that it's not a deal where we're cutting a deal with them and we're having to exchange money. The worst thing that we can do for our brand is purchase a placement of our brand anywhere in the world. Anytime you see Topo Chico anywhere, that we did not pay for it. Every bit of it was there naturally because the person holding that bottle enjoys and actually uses that Topo Chico. And the Brand Ambassador Program. Brand Ambassador Program is basically the people that make up all this stuff. And I have them in a spreadsheet. It's super official. An example is this young lady, Casey Musgrave. She's from Texas. Her two of band members learned about Topo Chico through their engineer when she was cutting, not the album she just released, but the album previous to that, Pageant. What the heck was it called? Something Pageant. So she was introduced to the brand through engineers to two of her band members. One of her band members actually grew up in Monterey, so when he saw Topo Chico, he knew what it was immediately. The end game here is that now we go and we meet them before they go on tour, and we load up Topo Chico on their tour bus, and they take it with them around the country, introducing it to more folks. She got married about 3 months ago, and Topo Chico was the only non-alcoholic drink at her wedding, and again, her wedding was filled of nothing but people in the music industry at Nashville, right? And so that's kind of a microcosm of what we're trying to achieve. We've got an Emmy Award-winning artist, very popular, who now communicates to the brand. She doesn't know who I am, but she talks to me through DMs, our personal messages on Instagram all the time whenever she needs something. And it's her on her account. And we then organize, okay, you guys are going to be in Nashville. I'll get someone to meet you at the Piggly Wiggly, whatever. They'll have, you know, how many cases do you need? Do you want grapefruit? Do you want lime? Whatever. And it's funny because it's her on her Instagram. It's like we're doing a drug deal online. And it's like, okay, we're going to be at this parking lot at this time. Meet us there. And we go and we show up. And then twice a year or whatever, we have this big, huge surprise where she's there in some piece, whether it's in a Rolling Stone or something like that. Then she's got a glass bottle of Topo Chico somewhere in the image. I built their websites. There's all that. We started an email list. How do we do that? Traditional methods of starting an email list. I slipped this in here literally on the plane this morning because I realized I've given a version of this case study about 6 or 7 times, and I gloss over the email thing. I'm like, email is so important that I never talk about it during the session. The email simply is we do once a year, we do contests where it's basically called topo spotting. Long story short, before the Coca-Cola, I'm about to give away the punchline. Before October of 2016, because we're a completely independent brand, we had no clue where Topo Chico was sold in the United States. I could tell people that Chicago was a big market for us. If someone contacted me online, I could not tell them which store they could go to and purchase Topo Chico at, which is ridiculous, but that's the position we were in. So I decided to crowdsource that. And so what we did, we have this contest, which we probably don't need to do anymore, called Topo Spotting. And people would go to our website, take a picture of where they purchased their Topo Chico and upload it. And every time they took a picture of Topo Chico at a store, that would give them an entry into this contest for a year's supply of Topo Chico. So I was crowdsourcing this Google map on our website, places where Topo Chico wasn't necessarily sold, but we knew that somebody bought it at this place at one point in time. That's how I collected my email addresses. Part of our campaign also is you've got to identify, and this is painfully obvious, identifying your marketing channels. The reason why I put this up there, because it's more important not to say what you're going to do. It's super, super important to say what you're not going to do. Because one of the biggest issues we have as brands is we feel like we have to be everywhere all the time, and you do not. You certainly want to go out to social media sites and grab your brand name and hold on to it so somebody else doesn't take it from you and do something dumb with it. But the most success I've ever seen working with brands is having a really tight focus on a few social media sites and completely owning those. And then as those grow and they get momentum, they start kind of functioning on their own, and we'll see that in a little bit, then you move on to another one if it makes sense. So this is more of a slide of not identifying where you're going to be, and these are the places that we focused on. It was more about, if it's not on this list, we are not doing it. We're not going to do it. Doesn't mean we'll never talk about it, but it means about having, you know, some focus. I'm probably almost out of time, and then this slide shows up. How much? We're toast. I want to be done like at 5. Okay, so Instagram is not the new Facebook. This is a terrible thing for me to say in public, but I say it all the time, so it doesn't matter. I deleted my personal Facebook account about 4.5 years ago because I think Mark Zuckerberg is a terrible person. And because I know what they do with the data, because I'm not only just a social media person, I'm a programmer. So I know what the APIs are capable of, and I knew what companies were doing with that data. And I wanted no part of it, right? So I've got a dummy account that I use to log into my client accounts and manage all their pages. The big reason why I deleted it back then, besides the my personal data privacy, was that was when they started squeezing the organic reach of the posts, and they have every right to generate income. I mean, it's dumb for us to not expect them to be able to have a way to generate income, right? Me as primarily an organic social media marketing, whatever I am, if I don't have that lifeblood of bona fide editorial kind of news stream that I can play against, then the platform is of little value to me, even if it's the largest social media site platform in the world. There are people that focus on paid social and paid search. I'm not one of them. The issue I have now today is Instagram is absolutely our number one social media platform for Topo. It's still a little bit up in the air in my eyes about whether or not Instagram is going to own Snapchat, or Snapchat's going to figure out a way to make that work. We've never been on Snapchat because from a visibility into what people do on that platform, it's completely dark. You can't see what's going on there. You don't know how many fans you have. You don't know what engagement happens. None of that stuff. And so we own the Topo Chico brand on Snapchat. I think I've over 4 years have posted 2 or 3 times on it. And every time David, my boss at Topo Chico, we're just like, it's not, I mean, we can't see what's happening there. And if we can't have an actionable, you know, we've done this and people liked it, or we did this and there was no response, as a business, as a campaign, that, you know, there's two of us that manage this. This is a national brand. And there are two of us that manage everything about this brand. We cannot afford to be playing the Snapchat game because we're supposed to be there and not have any kind of information that tells us whether or not what we're doing is working or not, especially when there's, you know, 12, you know, other options out there. This is basically go out and do some research, figure out where your audience is at. And so when I go there and I make the decision that, okay, you know, when we chose Instagram because of the skill set we had in-house, and because we thought that if we were going to focus on the music industry, that was our best shot at coming out of the gate and working at that. And part of it also was based upon where the growth was at. These are charts, and you guys will be able to download this later. These were kind of screenshots of charts we used to make that decision back when we made the decision about where the growth was going to be on the different social media sites and what the audience was going to look like. We prefer now, there's a tool called People Pattern, where we get most of our social media information from. We don't spend like $10,000 on a huge kind of social media dashboard. We have a fairly modest budget per month on what we do. What? 5 hours? Great. It'll be great. So People Pattern is something that I highly recommend. It wraps all your social media sites into one that are important. But if you don't have a budget for anything at all, there's a ton of stuff out there you can use for social media or for Instagram. The one that I would recommend that is almost free is called IconoSquare, IconoSquare. I think they've got like a $9 a month plan, which is, you know, and this is what you, I mean, you get good information from them telling them what posts are doing well, which ones have the most engagement, stuff like that. Consistency, kind of important. It doesn't matter. One of the first questions you get in this field is, how many times should I post? It doesn't matter how many times. What matters is that you establish a baseline for your fan base and you stick to that. We post about once a day. If I go in and I post 3 times in a single day, our engagement goes through the floor. If I don't post 1 or 2 days in a row, I get DMs saying, hey, what's going on? consistency. For us personally, and this works for all my brands, I post like a fan. I don't post like a marketer. What that means is that we never sell Topo Chico to anyone. You can look through the past 4 years of everything we've ever posted on this brand. There has never, ever, ever, ever been a single call to action. We have the only time I mention somebody purchasing Topo Chico is if they hop up on one of our social media sites and they say, I'm in Cincinnati, where do I get it? And if I do know, because of my fancy-dancy topo spotting map, I can say, hey, someone purchased it over here. That is the closest I've ever gotten. Again, you can only do that if you're playing the long game. Posting like a fan, we mimic, and what we did with this brand when we started off is we spent the first, and I say we, I mean me, for the first 2 years, I produced all the photography and all the video for the brand in the way that we thought that it should look. A couple of the things that we did on purpose, everything that we shot for the brand was shot on an iPhone because we were trying to mimic what people do online. After about the 2 year mark, I don't have to produce anything. Everything you see on our brand pages now is created by our fans, and we pay zero for it. Every bit of that is earned. And I ask permission before I post anything. Over 3 years, I've had two people tell me no, because they didn't know the imagery, and the photographer that owned it wanted to be paid, and that's totally fair. I get that. But we have plenty of things to choose from where we don't have to pay for that stuff. And the earned media is amazing, from tattoos to just regular kind of generic fashion photography. A third grader told his teacher that the only way she could improve in the classroom was to sell Topo Chico to them, which is amazing. People naming their dogs Topo Chico, and Megan Fanjoy went to the Mediterranean and she took two cases of Topo Chico with her because she was right, she was afraid she wasn't going to be able to get it when she was on vacation in Europe. We don't sell it in Europe. And so I've got a whole series of pictures of her traipsing through Europe drinking her Topo Chico. And we didn't pay for that ticket. Tools of the trade are blood, sweat, and tears. And again, long game. This is my little wagon. This is where I meet bands with, and I take Topo Chico to them to load up on the tour bus. I spend a ton of time at outdoor festivals, food and wine festivals, things like that. And my setup on the road is literally this bag. I mean, I'm out producing content for a national brand, and everything I need is inside my bag, which is two iPhones, the laptop, an iPad, and miscellaneous kind of trinkets that I use for like time lapse and stuff like that. But everything fits in that bag. So you don't, and I don't want to be mean to pro photographers and videographers, but you don't need to go out and spend thousands of dollars on a photographer. I mean, this is a case study where we've built a brand around that. 15 minutes? Okay, great. And sometimes I sleep in a hammock underneath the stage. Where can I get to? Here are the results. 300% growth in sales in 4 years. When we started in 2013, the brand had $20 million in sales worldwide. At the end of October in 2016, we had $72 million in sales in the U.S. alone. That might be a current number. Our goal in the first year was to get 10,000 Instagram followers. Today we have 37,000. 20,000 opt-in email addresses. And here's the big number. In October of last year, Coca-Cola purchased the brand for the United States only for $220 million. And that is a brand that didn't exist to an English-speaking audience in 2013, did not have a website, did not have a single piece of English language collateral built around it, didn't have any social media presence whatsoever. And in less than 4 years, we went from that to $250 million buyout by the largest beverage manufacturer in the world. These are things we're working on next. That's all.